listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is time to study the daily New Testament reading. Our guest pastor joining us by phone today, Pastor Clifton Lohman from First Lutheran Church in Tahlequah, Oklahoma. Pastor Lohman, welcome to His Time.
Thank you, Andy. It's a pleasure to be here.
Looking forward to studying God's Word with you today in Luke chapter 4. Before we get to that, tell us about your congregation, First Lutheran Church in Tahlequah, Oklahoma.
Well, First Lutheran Church was organized back in around 1970, and we're the only Lutheran church here in our immediate area. There's a few Lutheran congregations scattered throughout, but we're in Tahlequah, which is about an hour and a half east of Tulsa, Oklahoma. So we're in a very beautiful part of the state, a lot of hills, a lot of rivers and trees, and a lot of stuff to do outside. Tahlequah is the capital of the Cherokee Nation and the United Kituwa Band of the Cherokee. So we got two tribes that are their capital is right here in our area. We have a wonderful university, Northeastern State University, and if you don't know much about Tahlequah, if you've ever read the book Where the Red Fern Grows, this is where it took place. So,
well, that's great. And glad that that God has placed you there to proclaim the good news of Jesus. And First Lutheran Church is serving in the community with that that witness and mercy that God has given them. We are studying Luke chapter 4 today, verses 16 through 30. Pastor Lohman, what would you like for us to know as we prepare to study this text?
Well, there's a couple of things, Andy. First of all, this part of Luke really kind of mirrors, you know, we're in the season of Easter, just coming not too long ago, had Holy Week. And so this kind of reflects in many ways, and we'll see this as we go throughout the study, Holy Week. There's a Holy Week connection here in this pericope, this passage. So that's one thing to keep an eye out for as we study together today. And another thing I think that is also important is the Jesus' emphasis on eternity, not necessarily just our temporal lives, though he is interested in our temporal lives, but that's not his sole and primary focus. His sole and primary focus is our eternal good. And so we'll also see that, I think, as we go through our study this morning.
Well, let's take a look. Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 30 is what we're studying with Pastor Lohman from First Lutheran Church in Tahlequah, Oklahoma. Let's take a look at verse 16 and following. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." All right, so he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up.
Yeah, that's his hometown. We first see Nazareth, you know, in the Gospels in the Nativity narrative. This is where Joseph and Mary, of course, are from, and where Joseph probably brought his family back to, you know, after their flight into Egypt and whatnot. Joseph, as we know, we commonly refer to him as a carpenter, but he was in the Greek, a tecton, which is basically a construction worker. He was a builder. So if we have any listeners in that industry, you know, Jesus has a connection to you there. So he comes back to Nazareth, his hometown, where he had been brought up. So if he had been brought back to Nazareth, where has he been? If we look just right before our reading today, we have in chapter 3, Jesus being baptized by John the Baptist, you know, his relative. So Jesus is down at the river, and he gets baptized, and then he's the Spirit comes upon him, and he is led out into the wilderness. And so he's been out into the wilderness for 40 days. And now the Spirit has brought him back to Galilee. Verse 14, right before where we pick up, that's what the Spirit does, is it brings him back to Galilee. Jesus has begun his ministry. Now he's back in Nazareth, his hometown. His hometown crowd, the people who know him probably best. And he ends up going to the synagogue. Says this was his custom. So that's what Jesus did. He went to church. We have a lot of people nowadays, I think especially in our American culture, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian, as the saying goes. But but as Christians, that's what we do. We go to church. Jesus models that for us. The commandment, the third commandment, you shall remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. We go to church because it is a command. God commands it, and he commands it because of our sinful nature. We do not necessarily always want to go to church or to hear God's word. So he makes it a command. But it's also for our benefit. Church is where we hear the word of God. It is where we receive his gifts of mercy and grace and forgiveness. And our faith is strengthened by our brothers and sisters who walk alongside us. So Jesus models that for us here. I was looking throughout this chapter, Andy, and it's mentioned four times that Jesus goes to the synagogue. So it was something that was really important to him, was to be in the presence of God. And if we go back to chapter 2, we have that infamous story of Jesus as a young man, being 12 years old, and his parents take him to Jerusalem for the Passover, and they leave, and they, on their way home, they find out that Jesus isn't there, and so they go back to find him, and that's what Jesus tells them.
Yeah, so here we find him, his custom. He went to the synagogue on Sabbath day. He stood up to read, and what does he read? The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him, and he unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He stands up to read from the prophet Isaiah, and reads this text.
Yeah, it's actually Isaiah 61, the first verse or so that he reads. And of course, he stands up. He's in church. He's in the synagogue, and he's not the pastor there. He's a visitor, but this is his hometown, and the people had apparently heard of him, of his ministry. Of course, they knew him personally, but of his ministry, they apparently knew him, and we'll see that later on in our text. And so he's invited to read and to teach. And so they give him the scroll of Isaiah, and he finds the place of Isaiah 61 exactly where he wants to read, and he reads it. And he reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." I think I would like to go a little bit further in our reading, Andy, and then back up to that, because verse 21 kind of points us backwards to his reading.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So let's move forward.
All right. So anything else, up through verses 17, 18, 19, anything else on that before we go on to the next section?
Well, no, I want to come back to 18 and 19 after we get to 21, though.
Okay. All right. And he rolled up, verse 20, and he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing."
Yeah, and that's the line that kind of takes us back to verse 18. Reading this text, I have a weird sense of humor, and it kind of makes me laugh in a way, because Jesus reads this basically a verse of scripture. It says he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down like he was done. And so I get this mental image of you know, the guy on the stage who says something profound, drops the microphone and walks away. But the eyes of all the people were fixed on him, like they were waiting in anticipation for something more. And then he gives them a one sentence sermon, just one line. I think, my congregation, if I gave them a one sentence sermon, I think I'd get in trouble. Well, I may not get in trouble. They might enjoy that, but, but whenever we preach in church, what we're preaching is Christ, and Christ, in this one line, points everything back to himself. The day the scriptures has been fulfilled in your hearing. So what is this scripture? Well, let's go back to 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. The Spirit of the Lord being upon him, like I mentioned earlier, being in the Jordan, being baptized, you know, there were a number of people there, and a lot of them were being baptized, but none of them had the same experience Jesus had, because when Jesus was baptized, the heavens opened, the Spirit descended upon him like a dove, and the voice of God, speaks from heaven, thunders from heaven. You are my beloved Son. With you, I am well pleased. And so Jesus comes back here. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Again, you know, the temptation, the Spirit led him out into the wilderness, and then it led him, after the temptation, into the area of Galilee. So the Spirit is certainly, Luke is making certain that we understand that the Spirit is upon Jesus. Because that's really who he is. We call him the Christ, the Messiah, which means the anointed one, the one who is anointed. And so Jesus is telling the people here, I am the anointed one. I am the Messiah. And he says, I've been appointed or anointed to proclaim good news to the poor. And I think that's the main thing, Andy, is the proclamation. As I mentioned in the introduction, Jesus is concerned about our temporal lives, our temporal activities, the things of this life. But he is more interested in our eternality, our everlasting life, what happens forever. And so that's the purpose of proclaiming the good news. It says to proclaim the good news to the poor. Well, is that the poor? Well, if we were just concerned about this temporal life, good news to the poor would be you've won the lottery. Your medical bills are paid. You won a car. That would be good news to the poor, because that takes care of their temporal existence, their daily need, their life here. But this has kind of a double meaning, if you will, because it points both to that, well, I guess to that tension of the temporal and the eternal. Yes, he has come to help the poor, to help those who are blind, who are ill, who are, he raises the dead. So he is certainly here to help with those things, but those things are secondary to the proclamation, to the good news, to the everlasting life that we have through him. Proclaim good news to the poor. That is the poor, I think, physically, but also the poor in spirit, the poor in heart. He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, those who are captive, not just in prison, but in prison to their sin, to their temptation, recovering sight to the blind. Yes, we see throughout the Gospels that he does that. He restores sight to the blind, both physically and spiritually. Those who have ears, let them hear. Those who have eyes, let them see. And to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. this is a special time in history, and that's what Jesus is telling us. This is the year of the Lord's favor as he begins his work, does his work.
We're studying the Daily New Testament reading with Pastor Clifton Lohman from First Lutheran Church in Tahlequah, Oklahoma. We're in Luke chapter 4 today. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue studying and we'll pick up around verse 22. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
KFUO embracing today's technologies to bring the good news message of Christ to the world. Listening to Worldwide KFUO on the go with your smartphone doesn't mean you have to walk around with earbuds all day. You can Bluetooth or sync up to listen in your car while driving anywhere. There are many easy ways to listen to WorldwideKFUO.org. On the air, online, and on demand, the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.
After reading a thoughtful book, or even part of it, do we not many times want to tell someone else what we've read? Do we not many times wish we could do this with the author? This is exactly what we do on Book Talk, Fridays at 2 p.m., streaming online and archived thereafter for your 24/7 consumption.
Book Talk host Rod Zwanitzer encouraging you to listen on Worldwide KFUO.
Listening to His Time, I'm Andy Bates. We're studying with Pastor Clifton Lohman at First Lutheran Church in Tahlequah, Oklahoma. Today we're in Luke chapter 4. Pastor, are we ready to pick up at verse 22?
Let's go for it.
All right. And all spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Physician, heal yourself. What we have heard you did at Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well.'" And he said, "Truly I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown. But in truth I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and a great famine came over all the land, and Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath, and in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. When they heard these things, all in the synagogue were filled with wrath, and they rose up and drove him out of the town and brought him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they could throw him down the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went away." So all spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth, and they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?"
Yeah, they seem to be pretty amazed that someone from their hometown could have such renown and speak so authoritatively about God's word. Is this not Joseph's son? They know Joseph, they know Jesus, and again, they're just perplexed, amazed at what he had to say.
"Is this not Joseph's son?" And he said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Physician, heal yourself. What we have heard you did at Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well.'"
Yeah, here it kind of takes a turn. Things were going so well, and then he begins to, read their hearts. "Doubtless you will quote to me the proverb, 'Physician, heal yourself.'" Being from Nazareth, they're going to want Jesus to do the miracles that they have heard of him doing. They're going to want him to do the things, the healing that he has just proclaimed, that he read in the book of Isaiah. Good news to the poor, liberty to the captives, sight to the blind. They're thinking that this is for them, that they're going to receive these temporal, physical benefits. "What we have heard you did at Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well." And we'll see this all throughout the gospel, well, all the gospels, actually, that tension between the temporal and the everlasting, the feeding of the 5,000, you know, Jesus feeds them, and then they come looking for more bread. They're looking for a bread king, someone to take care of their physical wants and needs. And Jesus says, that's not what I'm here for. And so he reads their hearts here. He knows what's going on, what they're thinking. And so this passage kind of takes a turn here.
And he said, truly I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown. But in truth I tell you, there are many widows in Israel. There were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and a great famine came over all the land. And Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. So there, a prophet is not acceptable in his hometown. And then he goes on to speak about Elijah.
Yeah. Well, Elijah, you know, is probably the prophet, the prophet of prophets, in a way. He is the one that the people were looking for the coming of the Messiah. And Jesus tells him, you know, that, well, that was John the Baptist. John the Baptist is the New Testament Elijah. But here, he's making a comparison, in a way. They're expecting him to be like I said, the bread king. And then he's saying that Elijah could have done that with all the people in the area, but in the land of Sidon. But instead, what he did was he went to one woman. And if we remember the story, this woman was out, and Elijah says, you know, feed me. And she says, well, I have just a little bit of flour and a jug of oil, and I was on my way home to prepare basically my last supper for me and my son, and then we're going to eat it and die. And Elijah says no, and he goes back with her, and that flour and oil lasts until the famine breaks. So he's making that comparison that he is not what they're looking for. He is like Elijah, in a way.
And so, yeah, we hear about Elijah, and then he goes on to speak about Elisha as well. There were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian.
Yeah, and Naaman certainly was a foreigner, and he comes to Elisha, and Elisha tells him to go and to basically baptize himself, to wash himself in the Jordan River. And Naaman, of course, says, no, that river is dirty and nasty, and I don't want to be in that. But then his people convince him, and he does it, and he's healed. Well, he's a foreigner. He's not even an Israelite. He's not a Jew. He is an outsider. And so Jesus is he is saying that salvation, the work of the prophet, isn't just for his hometown, isn't just for his own people, but it's for the world. And salvation is for the world. So in this little section here, this little story of Elijah and Elisha, that's what Jesus is telling them. And they're not too happy about it. Jesus, later on in his ministry, will ask his disciples, who do the people say that I am? And what do they say? Well, some say you are Elijah. Some say you are John the Baptist. And he says, but who do you say that I am? And it's Peter who gives that wonderful testimony. Well, you are the Christ, the Son of God. You are the Messiah. You are the Anointed One, the Son of God.
When they heard these things, all in the synagogue were filled with wrath, and they rose up and drove him out of the town and brought him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they could throw him down the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went away.
Well, as I mentioned in the introduction, Andy, we get a kind of a glimpse here. You know, this is Luke records for us here really the beginning of Jesus' ministry, and this is the first recorded thing that he does, and he goes back to his hometown. But it is also a foreshadowing of the very last week of Jesus' ministry on earth before his death. These people are not happy. You know, just a few verses before, they were singing his praise. They were glorifying him, and it's almost like a Palm Sunday as Jesus rides that donkey down the hill from the Mount of Olives into the city of Jerusalem, and the people are shouting, "Hosanna, save us!" But then, by the end of the week, there aren't those shouts anymore. Instead, it's the shouts of crucify him, because he was not necessarily what the people were looking for or in their own minds. So here, when they heard these things, all in the synagogue were filled with wrath. They immediately turned on him. They rose up, drove him out of town, just like in Jerusalem. You know, they rose up, they took him out of town. They took him out of the city to crucify him. And here they're going to try to end his life by throwing him off of a cliff, throwing him to his death. And then verse 30, but passing through their midst, he went away. This was certainly a supernatural event, this passing through, because his time had not yet come. His death was to be on the cross, not thrown off of a cliff in the city of Nazareth, but in Jerusalem, in God's own city, the center of the Jewish faith, of those who proclaim God for so long to the world. And now Jesus is going to proclaim God to the world. And, well, the Israelites don't like that. And so we have this foreshadowing here of Holy Week right here at the beginning of Jesus' ministry.
Looking over the text as a whole, Pastor, anything else you'd like for us to learn from this text in Luke chapter 4 as we wrap up our study today?
Well, this going back to 18 and 19 for just a moment, that sure. proclamation, proclaiming the good news, proclaiming liberty, proclaiming the year of the Lord, that is the work of God's people. You know, God has given that work to Christ, and Christ has passed that on through the apostles, and the apostles to the church. And, you know, it makes me think of Romans 10. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. It's through the proclamation of the word that people come to faith. It's not through works, not through deeds, not through good service, but only through Christ's word. Yes, we do serve our neighbor. We do good things, but that is not what gets us or them to the other side of eternity. It is only through the word. It's only through Christ.
We've been studying the Daily New Testament reading with Pastor Clifton Lohman at First Lutheran Church in Tahlequah, Oklahoma. Pastor Lohman, thanks for being our guest today, helping us study Luke chapter 4.
Thank you, Andy. This has been a lot of fun.
Well, very good. God bless you and all the saints at First Lutheran Church in Tahlequah, Oklahoma. Coming up in just a little bit, more His time, including sacred music to sanctify your morning. You're listening to Worldwide KFUO.